Hi, I'm Jane. I'm a naturopath, and in this video, I'm going to talk a little bit about cancer. So this was a really hard video for me to think about what I would talk about, because cancer is such a broad, you know, it encompasses a lot of complex ideas, a lot of different, you know, cancer is such a broad term. You can have cancer in different parts of the body, they can have different processes, so it was really overwhelming. So I thought that and you know, it can get very technical, so I thought that I would just start it off by saying that generally, and of course it's highly emotive as well, so if people are affected by cancer, or if they, you know, they themselves get a cancer diagnosis, it's a hugely stressful and emotional time, and so it's quite a sensitive time as a naturopath to be supporting someone or talking to someone about that diagnosis. There's also, I find, a lot of we're still treading our way about where naturopathic practitioners fit in amongst a very like the mainstream oncologist's world. So I don't want to downplay the role of naturopaths at all. That's not what I mean. I think it is absolutely crucial and essential and so beneficial. I think that we've still got a fair way to go for that to be recognized amongst the mainstream sort of medical you know, fraternity, so to speak. I think we've made a lot of progress. So basically, you know, first of all, I'm not an expert, a specialist. I'm not, you know, it's not something that I specialize in clinic. There are practitioners that do exclusively work with cancer. And if this is something that you're dealing with, then by all means, seek out the help of a naturopathic practitioner who has experience in this area. It can be so helpful. I hope that explains a little bit before I get into it. Just a little bit of background. First of all, when I was looking at a few notes on this, I was quite shocked to see that the current statistics, so this is statistics that I read for Australia. So one, at the moment, 1 in 2 people in Australia will be diagnosed with a form of cancer in their lifetime. I mean, that blew my mind. I didn't realize that the stats were that, you know, that it was that high. Also, just out of interest, the most common cancers, I thought was interesting. So at the moment in Australia, the most common diagnosed cancer is prostate cancer, which is followed by bowel cancer, and that's followed by breast cancer, melanoma, and lung cancer. So that's the sort of top 5 cancers that have been diagnosed in Australia. Just a little totally brief intro into the main 3 key, passages of cancer progress. So the first stage, or stage I should say, so the first stage is initiation. So that's where, you know, and this is very, very simplified, but you get a mutation in critical genes. So, you know, and this can be caused by things like chemical exposure, by radiation, by viral infections, and this sort of primes the cell for division. The next stage, again in general terms, is the promotion. So first of all, that initiation stage, you know, that's very, we still have a lot of control over what happens there. So there's a lot of potential for reversing that process at that point. The second stage is promotion. So you get propagation and proliferation of the initiated cells. So this is where major changes can occur. This is where they're most sensitive to dietary and hormonal factors. So, you know, like in breast cancer, being sensitive to things like estrogens, and also insulin growth factor is another one that plays a huge role in cancer pathways. So at this stage, it is still reversible. It usually, you know, can still have quite a lot of impact. And then the third stage is progression. So this is where you get the conversion from a benign cancer to a malignant. So at this stage, it is normally, I say, you know, there's always exceptions, there's always, so normally irreversible. And, you know, this is stages characterized by this haphazard growth and usually invasive. And at this stage, still, you know, there are substances that can promote this progression. So things like heavy metals and, you know, examples, cadmium and radiation, that kind of stuff. So naturopathic treatment can be really helpful in supporting the... So I think what's really important is, from a naturopathic perspective, is seeing cancer is that it's not just something that happens in isolation. So, you know, if you think of cells that are dividing, and they just, not a normal process of cell aging is they divide, and then when they start to mutate, we have a normal process of killing those cells. It's called apoptosis. So they sort of have a signal that says, oh, you've done your time, and you know, you're not in your prime, not doing your prime function anymore, and they sort of, it's called cell death. And this is a normal healthy process, but cancer cells, they lose this signaling, goes haywire, and they don't have this cell death. So they start to divide uncontrollably. This doesn't just happen in isolation. So, you know, all of the parts of our health and body, we are one organism, not just sort of a couple of cells in isolation. So it's really about supporting the host terrain. And again, that goes back to your normal healthy promotion of things that, you know, reduce inflammation in the body. So making sure that your diet and lifestyle factors are encouraging of not uncontrolled inflammation, so that you're not setting up an environment where the body loses this ability to signal cell death correctly. The other one is the insulin growth factor that I mentioned. So, you know, it's really important to not have uncontrolled insulin issues. So that they're, you know, weight management, but specifically diabetes and glucose control is really really important. There's so much to say about this, and I don't sort of want to trip over my words too much, but there's a couple of different specific cancers in different areas have very specific nutrients that apply to them. So this is just a tip of the iceberg type of idea. There are certain nutrients that I found generally across all types of cancer are helpful. And the main reason, the one thing they had in common, so there's a pathway that inhibits this apoptosis they've found. It's called NF-kappa B. So it's kind of an inflammatory factor, but it specifically stops, is one of the factors that they've found to be involved in, you know, messing up this cell signaling that signals for cell death. And then all these nutrients they've found to inhibit that NF-kappa B. So one of them is green tea, and specifically a phenolic compound in green tea called epigallocatechin gallate, or EGCG. So that, you know, has found to inhibit that pathway. And of course, it's also antioxidant and anti-inflammatory. And the good thing about that is, you know, they've shown that this is helpful even on 3 cups of green tea a day. So the idea was about 6 cups a day, but even 3 cups of green tea a day has a beneficial effect. The other one is curcuminoids, or curcumin, which is the active in turmeric. Now this one, probably across the board, is probably the nutrient that you'll always see promoted in sort of cancer, complementary cancer care. The dose on this one though is up to eight grams a day, so that's a pretty hefty dose and pretty hard to get through food only. But of course, having turmeric in food is really helpful. But if you're specifically looking at cancer treatment, you might need to look at a specific supplement with a delivery system to help get that amount of curcumin into the cells. The other ones are quercetin, so you'll find that in, you know, fruits, also berries for the polyphenols. All of these are you'll find they're antioxidant and anti-inflammatory, as well as being shown to inhibit that NF-kappa B. And also, just a very quick mention, there has been a lot of research and successful outcomes with using the ketogenic diet, especially for more advanced tumors. They've found that, you know, ketogenic diet has helped with regression of those advanced tumors, like brain tumors even. I just want to make a note that you know, that we're talking about a real ketogenic diet, I guess. So very high levels of fat, and very low levels of carbohydrates. So, not just a simple low carb diet. So, I hope that's been a little helpful, and yeah.